Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Renzi. We're kicking it podcast style, but you already know that because you're listening to us right now. And let's try to make this the number one podcast in the world, or at least like let's try to make it top 100 in the world on the rankings. We've done it before, actually. So spread the word. We're kicking on Apple, on iTunes, and where you listen to your favorite podcasts and your favorite guests, like Lou. Gamblu.com steps up, and Lou, it's always a pleasure. How you doing, Lou?
Doing excellent, Gabriel. Happy to contribute, and how about we offer the listeners a winner or two this week, and that'll help us pick up listeners by the week.
You know what? We had a pretty good week last week, actually, Lou. Is you know the fight world was focused in on the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight, but you and I talked about Paul Felder and Dan Hooker, and I said, you know, I'm looking forward to this fight because we've got two guys that are, you know, honest, hardworking, lunch pail type of fighters, no frills. You know, no frills. They're going to stand in the middle of the cage and they're going to scrap. And that's exactly what they did. It was a hell of a fight. Like, it was really, really good. I enjoyed it. I like watching competitors like that go at it, in which Hooker got the best of him early and then started to tire. And Felder's just a warrior, man. And Felder just kept on marching forward. like it was a great fight. Like, Felder would land, like, these combos. Bang, 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 bang. And Hooker would just, like, respond, pow, like, with a serious shot. And then Hooker was losing the exchanges. Really close fight, Lou. I had my money on Hooker. So, you know, it is what it is. And Joey Odessa, who we're going to speak to later, Joey always says, you know, the it evens out. You're going to win fights you probably don't deserve to win sometimes, and you're going to lose fights that you're like, holy crap, I just got screwed on my bet. So I don't know if people got screwed. I thought, I guess you could have argued it could have went either way. And in fact, I think it was one of those fights that a draw actually could have been in order, but hell of a fight, but we were on the right side. We cashed a ticket with Dan Hooker.
We were on the right side. I firmly believe that if that fight is judged anywhere in the world other than Auckland, New Zealand, that Felder wins. I believe also that Felder could have made it much easier on himself. He did not take a page from Barboza and attack Hooker's body, and Hooker was ready to go and out of gas in round 4 and 5, and Felder would not go to the body. He could have finished him, I'm convinced. And for that matter, I'd like to share this with everyone. I'm watching Dan Hooker's next fight because it's going to be against a strong contender, and I'm going to fade Hooker because I do not believe in him.
It's a good I like where you go with that. And I tell people that. We did a little – last week I was talking about that, about sports even. And I said, guys, I know, you know, especially us, our audience, we all sort of have that tendency to watch games that we bet on only. But I watch games I don't bet on, Lou. And I enjoy it from a sport fan perspective. But for me, I'm scouting. It's a scouting report, right? I want to see. All right, I'll know. And I'll be like, no, I saw these guys play and they had a problem when the other team started going faster. Or, wow, they were good in the paint. And you know, that, oh, this kid, you don't know about this new freshman. Like, you know, you've got to actually watch the game sometimes. It's not everything is just, well, I lost the bet, turn it off next, right? And me and Joey have talked about that. Sometimes you got to put it in the drawer, and it's great when a guy wins and the public is buying in and you know, you're like, no, he's being set up. And Hooker's a good fighter, but he's not great. And as you stated, he's so hittable, Lou. Like, he's so big. His hands are down. He gasses. And he's fun to watch. But he's the type of guy, you'll never win a championship fighting that style. But, hey, on a Saturday night, it's entertaining. And I agree. If that fight's in Las Vegas or the USA or Canada or, like you said, Lou, pretty much anywhere else in the world, Felder probably gets the decision. But it wasn't like a royal screw job. It was a good fight. It was a good fight. But I can't argue that. And I agree. I think Hooker's fade material in his next fight as well, Lou.
Total agreement.
All right. So you missed a beatdown in the boxing world. Tyson Fury absolutely smashed Deontay Wilder. It was a nice weekend of fights. But the beautiful thing is, and we talk about it all the time, there's no off season when it comes to mixed martial arts, and they go to Norfolk, Virginia this weekend as Joseph Benavidez takes on Davison Figueiredo. And this is Benavidez's third opportunity at this championship. He's basically one of the better fighters and guys that's been around forever that's never won a title before. This is his opportunity right now for Benavidez. What do you think about this fight, Lou? Are you excited for this one?
Well, I happen to regard the skill and speed of these 125-pound fighters as exciting for me. However, the typical sports fan is not turned on by lighter weight fighters, especially since they tend to go to decision, and that could easily happen here. That said, I find intrigue in this fight. Joe B is 35, and you know, the fact that he surely holds an experience edge, he holds an edge in pace and output offensively, as well his experience. That said, his wrestling is not as tip-top as it could be, and yeah. I believe Figueiredo to be the more apt and the more well-rounded fighter here. I think Figueiredo will end up being the much larger man. We know he's longer with a 3-inch reach advantage, 2-inch advantage with his legs. I think if Figueiredo can manage distance and keep Joe B off of him for the first couple of rounds, this will go Figueiredo's way. And I'm all about the Brazilian, who's averaged one knockdown per 15 minutes of fight time that he's endured.
Is the number inflated, do you think? Because it's Benavidez and people know him, they've seen him fight so much, and there's that sentimental, like, come on, man, the guy's got to win a belt once, right? It's almost like being the third time in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? This is it for him. I mean, this is it. How many more cracks is he going to get at this? But the thing, I just want to say, Lou, with Benavidez, though, I hear what you're saying about his wrestling, but it's not like it's a case where this is a at times, like Aldo. You know, Aldo fighting Cejudo. I mean, come on. And I'm a big Aldo guy, but a guy's coming off a loss. And, you know, we get at times where there's questionable guys that are fighting for a belt. The fact is, Benavidez is 10-1 in his last 11 fights, Lou. The guy is still winning all the time.
Made his distance and outpointed Joe B, and that's exactly the fight that I tune into, because I know Figueiredo has, and I know he's going to manage distance and use speed to early outpoint Joe, but later maybe even take him out.
So you're looking you're looking at the underdog here then, Lou. You like the dog in this fight?
Yeah, I'm tracking Benavidez, opened at 145 to Figueiredo plus 115, and it hasn't changed much. Benavidez minus 150, Figueiredo plus 130. I would have people just hold on and be patient. I think the Figueiredo line could go up another nickel or a dime. If it does, jump on it when it does. Usually they'll start betting really towards the end of the week, and they're going to be betting Joe, I think.
Minus 144 right now as we speak over at FanDuel. Figueredo is plus 122. Yeah, it's a fun fight, actually. I'm looking forward to it. The card, I'm not going to lie. I don't know who, like, a lot of these people are, Lou. You're going to have to help me out on this stuff. Like, who the hell is, like, Giga Chizgatsky?
This week, the title of my blog is No Names from Norfolk, because this card is sandwiched between last week's card in Auckland, which was fire, and next week's UFC 248 in Vegas, where you have two awesome championship fights and a bunch of other great fights. And so you have here a bunch of fighters, I believe, are more on the fringes of the UFC as opposed to contending status.
Yeah, you know it's a no-name card, Lou. And it doesn't mean it's a bad card, right? You and I talk about this all the time.
That's right.
Doesn't mean it's a bad card. It means, you know, there could be blood spilt and great fights and all that other stuff. But as far as names are concerned, like, Tom Breeze is one of the most famous guys on this card, Lou. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I know Tom Breeze. Like, Megan Anderson's on the card. Against Dumont, so there's some fights here, Cudabella, but just as a whole, basically the prelims, man, you better be going over to SureDog and Wikipedia and be doing some research if you're betting on this stuff.
The good news is I've done that, and when we come out of if we have a break coming up, I can talk about two or three of them.
All right, so I think we've got, let's see here. I think we've got, we got 1 minute here. We got 1 minute. So setting it up. So as we stated, Norfolk, Virginia, Figueredo versus Joseph Benavidez. Sounds like Lou's enthusiastic about the underdog here, who only one loss on his resume, a younger fighter, 3 years fighter, bigger man, three inches reach advantage. Yet Benavidez, man, you know, one of those guys that's been around forever in the UFC that's never won a belt before. You know, it'd be interesting. I'd like to see the list and, you know, put together a list. Best fighters that never won a belt before, or guys that have been around a long time. Like, come on, man, Benavidez has been around since the WEC days. I mean, dude's been around forever.
Right at the top of that list, too.
He really would be, wouldn't he? Actually, you know what? I'm gonna it's something to think about. Put it together. LouGambleLou.com. Quick break. We'll get right back in the cage with Lou.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Morenci Unfiltered continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down with LouGambleLou.com. Lou, let's continue breaking down this UFC Norfolk card. So we got Benavidez in the main event. You're looking at the underdog. What else catches your attention on this fight card?
I do like three positions on this undercard, all of which are underdogs. The first of which is the fight right before the it's on the undercard. Let's say it like that. You have Brazilian Gabriel Silva, who's people may know his brother Eric Silva, who came in with a big splash but didn't do much. He's fighting a kid out of the MMA lab here in Phoenix, Kyler Phillips. and Phillips is going to be the 3 inches taller man. They're both 24, 25 years old. Phillips will have a little bit of reach. Silva's going to try and come in with wild shots and wrestle him up. This kid Phillips comes from the MMA lab, and they know how to wrestle it up there. I really look for a strong performance out of Kyler Phillips. He opened minus 180, and now there's been action on the Brazilian such that Phillips is a dog plus 105, plus 110, and Kyler Phillips is absolutely a release for me. But again, with the underdogs, you may want to just be patient and monitor the line. It may go up.
Yeah, you're right, because people that don't know about either fighter, it's sort of like they always say the odds makers in Vegas, Lou, during the football season. Well, people like the favorites and the overs. You know what I mean? Like when the public come in. And generally, a casual fight fan that's watching this, and hell, I admit, like these guys, it's like Lou said, it's no name Norfolk card. But a casual fight fan's going to say, well, he must be favored for a reason. Or, you know, look, the money's coming in on him, so I'm going to follow that. And you can get a lot of trouble in the fight game. Betting like that. All right, so Kyler Phillips, a live dog. Who else are you looking at, Lou?
Then I want to talk about the fighter that you mentioned, Tom Breeze, who's in a fight against a guy that fights out of Louisiana, Brendan Allen. Listen, when we handicap fights, we have to handicap everything. Breeze, who's been off since 2018, has had one or two fights canceled last minute. I'm talking last minute, last hour, because he suffers from nerves and anxiety. This is a handicappable issue that I must take into consideration, especially against a cowboy boot alligator wrestling Louisiana kid that's coming to try and show himself off. He works out at Rufus Sport. Brendan Allen currently is a plus 115 to Tom Breeze. And I just think that I can count on what I'm going to get from Brendan Allen. And I hate to say it, but I don't know what I'm going to get from Breeze. And I'm surprised a little bit that he's the favorite.
I understand that. But when Tom Breeze is in the cage, he's only lost one fight before, right? You know, do you like Breeze as a fighter, or is it just, you know, do you like the matchup, or is it just, you know what, you're not sure where Breeze is at coming into the fight?
That's actually a really great question. Breeze has really shown well, but he's shown well to undersized guys.
He's a big guy, exactly.
I mean, and when he fought Strickland, who's his size but not as thick, he got beat, and then his last beat was victory was against Dan Kelly. So I'm not overly impressed with his body of work. And this kid Brendan Allen, who beat Kevin Holland in his debut, showed me enough. And maybe I'm suffering from a little recency, but I'm going to scoop up that plus 115 or 120 and take the American from Louisiana, Brendan Allen.
Yeah, I think Lou's patriotism is coming through on this one. He's dropped the old boot guy from Louisiana, the old American, and you know he's a hungry fighter, right? I mean, coming off his UFC debut, he fought his way into the company through the Dana White Contender Series. 24 years old. I like the nickname All In, so you know what you're getting with this kid. It's a good point that you raised too, because. Like, the first thing I think of Tom Breeze, I'm like, yeah, that guy's big, the tall guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's 6'3", he's long. You have to wonder, though, Lou, you're right. You know, he's going to get into the war on a Saturday in Norfolk, Virginia. Can he dig down deep against a kid that's going to be all in here trying to make a name for himself, right? That's, you know, that's the one thing. There's a method to their madness. Like, people are like, oh, I never heard of these guys. Yeah, exactly. They're hungry fighters. Right? They're hungry fighters, and hungry fighters equal entertaining fights.
Breeze is from the UK, and with that long, tall frame, he fights tall, chin out, really stoic, like the English fighters do. And I just don't think that style is going to be suited against a more freelance fighter in Allen.
Sort of like Hooker, actually. I know he's from New Zealand, he's a Kiwi, but Hooker has that same sort of stance there. you know, long guy, tough as hell. Hey, I'll take your punch, but yeah, bro, you're eating a lot of punches along the way. It's that Brit. It's like they can't help themselves. It's like our boy Ross Pearson. Yeah, I loved Ross, but man, that guy, he'd love to stand in a phone booth and go like, that's why they should be boxers, Lou. I've always said that. There's a lot of British wrestlers and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Good strikers though. That's going to be a fun fight though. All right. So what's the other one? So we got a couple of dogs here. What's the third one you were looking at here? So you got Kyler Phillips in this one. You got Brendan Allen against Tom Breeze. What's the third undercard fight you were looking at?
That next fight is going to be the first fight on the card. You got an Austrian fighting out of Spain, Nardiev, who in his last fight lost to a wrestling-based kid in Chance Recounter, who is a good, solid fighter. But this Nardiev had a lot of hype behind him. They call him the Austrian Wonder Boy. He didn't look too wonderful to me, and he's got a really tough draw in this guy from Philly, Sean Brady. I'm going to take most of my lean on Brady because of what I've read in his articles. I really like it. And then when I researched him, he's had to face stiff competition to get to the UFC. He's a very well-rounded fighter. And so this one might be a little bit as much of a fade of Nardiev as it is from what I like and have heard from Brady. But I like him. He's dead set on letting everyone know that he will never be the first fight on a card again. And I like how he sounds and what his background is. And he's a plus 110 or plus 115 as well. He'd be the third underdog.
LouGamblou.com with us. All right, Lou. So I really appreciate your insight when it comes to those fights. Excuse me. I'll just throw a couple at you right now. Listen, the Felicia Spencer fight, she's minus. It's minus 800. So, what are you going to do with that? That's pretty high. But the Megan Anderson fight intrigues me, Lou, only because all I ever hear about is how Megan Anderson's the next coming, right? And Megan Anderson this. And, oh, Megan Anderson, one of the best fighters. And Megan Anderson's going to be a future champ in the UFC and all of that. Yet here she is in the minus 220 range. Seems to be creeping up a little bit right now. Yet if you look at Megan Anderson getting to the UFC, she's 2-2 in four fights. Yet she has fought Holly Holm, Kat Zingano. She lost to Felicia Spencer. She beat Santos. What do you make of any interest in this fight at all? Young fighter, only as far as fight experience, in Dumont Viana with only four fights, 4-0.
Four fights, 4-0. Dumont's going to be – this is her debut. She's going to be giving away 5 inches of height, and she's going to be giving away 5 inches of reach in her arms, and I don't have her leg reach.
And the number's low, Lou. It's like a trap. It's like, then why are they suckering us in to bet this, right?
I hate to agree with you, but you're right. I mean, to me, 220 seems like a total steal. I don't get it, but the only way I would play this is if I were to take Megan Anderson maybe as the first or second leg of a little two-teamer, because 220 is too much for me to bet straight on, but I wouldn't mind a two-team parlay with Megan Anderson. I definitely think she's a decent fighter. In fact, she beat Cairn, who is in the co-main event with Felicia Spencer, which is another oddity of this card.
It's funny though, guys. It's one of those deals we see it in basketball all the time. It's like, man, this team's way better than the other team. Why are they only favored by 4 points? And then you find out why after. It's one of those, like, that's the one that jumped off at me. I'm like, damn, Megan Anderson, minus 210, 220. I'll bet that. I'll get in on that. What about Cudabella? Cudabella's a guy, comes out swinging, but he gasses early. Any thoughts on the Russian in this fight, or Russian Megan Anderson parlay? You didn't bring Cudabella up yet, so I don't think you think he's that live of a dog, but what do you make of that one?
Thank you, Gabriel. He's actually the one that I would put in next. In fact, I was debating whether I would release Cudabella or Brady. I do like Cudabella here. Hey, listen, the Russians won 3 in a row. He's hard. He's going to wrestle But Cutabella, he's wild, he's tough, he's a striker, and he's really, he's desperate. His win against Roundtree was impressive, and I think he could be live here. He opens 155, and now he's up to 185. Maybe just sit and watch this. If Cutabella gets to plus 200, he's an automatic buy for me.
Lou, gamblu.com with us. We've got UFC Norfolk going back to Virginia once again. Should be a real fun fight card. So listen, we'll take a quick break, and then you know, Lou, it's actually funny. I brought you up on a show the other day because we were talking about going to sporting events and whether you bet on the home team, the visiting team, the overs. Like every game is different because you know, a Carver High from the Pharrell show was going to the hockey game the other night, and he goes, I'm not a fan of either team. They went to the game in Vegas. He goes, I just want to have fun, so I'm betting the over. And I said, my main man, Lou, for some reason, bets against the home team all the time when he goes. I thought it was a weird angle. I want to hear more about that on the other side. We'll take a quick break. We consider with Lou Gamblu.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Morenci Unfiltered continues. Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Morenci. We're throwing it down with Lou, gamblu.com. Joey Odessa will join us in a couple of moments. We'll talk Fury and Wilder as Joey Odessa was pimping Tyson Fury pretty hard on Saturday night after the fight. So we'll talk about the historical perspective of Tyson Fury. But we're with Lou right now, and I brought this up on the way out to Lou. Our boy Carver High from the Pharrell show, Scotty Pharrell now on the grid, and they went to the Las Vegas Golden Knights game last week. I think it was against the Lightning, and they were in Vegas for the fights and for the boxing match. And Carver said, you know, he's an Islander fan. He goes, I just want to have a good time at the game. I don't want to stress things out, so I'm just going to be cheering for goals, and I'm going to bet on the over. And I was talking about going to the XFL game this week, actually, the New York Guardians are playing the Los Angeles Wildcats Saturday afternoon, and I should be going. You know, I'm planning on going to the game, and I brought up there's nothing worse than going to a game and betting it and getting it wrong when you're there. It's just so aggravating. It's aggravating losing a bet at any time, but it's even like it's like going to a UFC fight and being wrong. It's just it's worse. like on TV, it's like yeah, whatever. There's another fight coming up. When you're there, it's like, you got to sit there. Like, it's, you know, you can change a channel when you're at home. There's other stuff going on. But if my memory serves me correctly, Lou, you bet against the D-backs when you go to their day games whenever they're playing on Wednesday afternoons, don't you?
I do, and it's because I've been a D-back fan long enough to know that if I bet on the D-backs, I'm just giving my money away, so why not try and win?
So you one of these guys, you're like, well, they're probably going to lose, so I'll just bet against them. And if they win, hey, I had a good time at the game.
Honestly, it's way deeper than that, Gabriel. Since I was a young kid, and I think it's maybe because coaches told us when we were in high school how great, you know, what your attitude had to be as a road team and how I took that as an individual. But I love the idea of the road team. Normally people bet the favorite, and normally the favorite's the home team. So the reason I do it is because I perceive that I'm getting one or two ticks worth of value by doing it. and in the long run, it's going to be okay. So, but I do love, no matter where I go or no matter what event I go to, unless the road team's minus 300, if there's a plus next to the road team, I'm usually taking a look at it.
I like your logic. It's like you're getting, yeah, you're getting value. You're getting the road team. It's overhyped. I love it, Lou, and I've done it. I've been on all sides of this, Lou. I've been on all sides of it. You know, the great Pedro Martinez, the pitcher, he was on the Montreal Expos, and people loved him, all right? Like, people loved him in Montreal. So he gets traded like everybody did for Montreal. So he gets traded to the Boston Red Sox, Lou. And interleague play is kind of new in those days, too. So it's still, like, a big deal, you know what I mean? And lo and behold, like, the next year, it just lines up perfectly. Oh, and well, don't you know, the Boston Red Sox are coming to Montreal. And lo and behold, oh, my God, Pedro, that's his night in the rotation. And it was like it fell into place. And on top of it, you can't make it up. He's pitching against the guy that he was traded for, and Carl Pavano. And the Expos weren't very good. The Red Sox were, all right? They get Pedro Martinez. My ex-girlfriend, may she rest in peace. I don't know what we were fighting about, but things were pretty bad. And it was one of those deals, Lou, where basically, like, she gave me the ultimatum, like, if you go to this game tonight, like, we're done type of thing. Like, you know what I mean? And it wasn't just that game, but it was just sort of like I was pissing her off a lot. And, you know, we got into a big fight that day and something happened. And basically, like, in the middle of the argument type thing, I was like, I got to go. and she's like, where are you going? And I told her, I said, listen, Pedro Martinez is back. And, like, I said, I love this guy. I can't miss this guy. Like, Pedro Martinez is back. And I swear, Lou, like, it was one of those on the way out, don't bother coming back type of things, Lou. You know what I mean? And I was thinking,
oh, yeah, believe me. I can believe it.
So I'm like, all right, I'll deal with this after the game. I have Pedro. So I go to the game, Lou, and I was betting in those. I've always been betting, but I bet about $600, but it was basically in those days, like, pretty much everything I had. It was like my bankroll, like, the, you know, pretty much everything. I went to the game. I pissed my girlfriend off. I went to the game alone. It sold out. It was like, you know, 50,000 people. I lay it down big on, I go, of course, on Pedro Martinez. How can I not? Of course, Lou. Of course, right? The Expos light him up. Carl Pavano throws like a shutout. like, the crowd's going crazy, Lou. Oh, the crowd's loving it and cheering. And I'm just sitting there with my hands and my forehead like, thinking that's what I get for trying to be the smart guy betting on the, and I swear I was the post game show host, Lou, and I was betting on the games, right? So once the Expos were losing, man, like the Expos were losing like 10-2 one Sunday afternoon, man, and they came back and won the game, and people are calling the show, this is the greatest baseball game I ever saw, one of my best memories ever. And I'm just sitting there thinking, man, I just lost a nickel because the Milwaukee Brewers blew a 10-2 lead. And I got to talk about this. and it was the worst. So then I got into, all right, just bet on the damn home team when you go to any event. That doesn't work either. So now, Lou, I'm so confused. I take it on a case-by-case basis. Like, I've tried betting the overs. I've tried betting the unders when I go to games. Like, you freaking name it, Lou. I've shaken it up and tried every combination when I go to a game that, like, if I'm not a fan of the team, it's just like a random game I'm going to. But, God, it pisses me off when I get it wrong when I'm there, Lou.
Yeah, but let's face it, Gabriel. If you're taking it situation by situation and game by game, then you're attacking it like a professional. If you're going to try and throw a blanket over it and be right with every blanket throw,
it doesn't work that way.
It just don't work that way. I do it just because I can't go to an event and not have $100 on the thing. And so if I don't have a real interest in one side or another, I got $100 on the road team just so I can watch.
You know, it's funny. I was telling people, and you got, you know, how far are you from exhibition baseball, Lou? Like, is it like a 10-minute drive or something? Like, how long would it take if you want to go to a baseball game right now?
So if I left right now, I could get to Merivale where Milwaukee train in probably 20 minutes. I mean, I got a number of them. I got a number of them close to me. I work in Tempe in the mornings, and so I could get to the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, or the A's, which are three different locations, in 10 minutes. I mean, they're all over, and all the stadiums are for the most part, not the Giants because it's in old Scottsdale Stadium, which is really rustic and beautiful. But all the other stadiums are state-of-the-art, totally brand-new
facilities,
15,000 seat stadiums that now have the shading to the back. It used to be all the stadiums faced west, and the sun goes down in the west, and when it's hot here, it's brutal on your face and eyes. And now they've turned them around so that they use the shade for the fans' comfort, and the new stadiums are freaking awesome.
Wow, that's great stuff. That's amazing, because to some people, Lou, like, the spring training is just a dream. It's funny, like, you're passing it on the way to work. You're driving past it. But I brought it up the other night, Lou, about that's the one thing I've never done, too. I've done a lot of things like in the sports world, but I've never been to spring training before.
I have been to at least, 50 to 70 games. And the over-under on innings I've watched is 1.5, and I'll take the under.
It's all about the atmosphere.
It's a party. Ain't nobody there watching baseball, I can assure you.
Yeah, it's a let's get drunk, guys. Hey, happy baseball season. Exactly.
That's what it is.
Holiday party. It's like, it's like Christmas is 3 weeks away. It's early December. But, Lou, I was telling people about, like, betting on preseason baseball. And people, and you know, you read these sports sites and stuff, and as we get older, Lou, you realize, you know, a lot of it's just crap, and you know, people are getting paid to write stuff. So you got the old, you know, I always love this, Lou, when you hear you can win betting this sport, like, you know, fill in the blank, if you do your research. Yeah, thanks. Oh, I thought I could win by not knowing anything, guys, right? I'm so sick of hearing that. Like, you hear that in the NFL preseason. You can win if you do your research. It's not easy. Trust me. I do a lot of research, Lou. It's not easy, okay? I don't care, like, what sport you're betting. So the thing is, though, people are like, oh, like, with preseason, know the rotation, know who's playing, know all this stuff. And I'll tell you, Lou, it's all crap, okay? It's all crap. And we got to get out of here in a minute. But my point is, and you're going to like this from a betting standpoint, it's the preseason. So people, you know, it's totally random. And, you know, the other day, Gerrit Cole made his debut for the Yankees. Lou, they were minus 200. It's a freaking Grapefruit League game. They're minus 200. Gerrit Cole pitched one inning, three batters. Well, there you lost your value when he's out of the game. So basically, Lou, my strategy is, and listen, I'm betting on preseason baseball is degenerate. I get it. But basically, Lou, if I can get plus 175 in any exhibition baseball game, I don't care who's playing. I'm taking the underdog. For the record, the game ended up being a 2-2 tie. They don't play extra innings. So it was not a bad bet, Lou. I got a 3-3 tie. It was a 3-3 tie. That was plus 175. Like, laying 200 wasn't the right side. I'll tell you that much. Every one of these preseason games and even regular season games are toss-ups, Lou, as you know. You're taking a road team. So, like, you know, I'm just blindly grabbing. You know, I'm going to start doing it more. Just grabbing these dogs in games that there is no edge in a Grapefruit League game, Lou. There really isn't.
Yeah, I actually think there's logic in your approach to that. Preseason baseball, actually regular season baseball is not for me, but, you know, I totally get it. And if anything, I use what I see or what I read about on preseason baseball just to make opinions on season totals. I do have one season total I'll share quickly, and that is Atlanta under season wins. And, you know, everybody's going to want to know what the number is, and for the life of me, I want to say it's 89.5. But I definitely took Atlanta under. I think they did a great job overachieving last year. It's going to be hard with that pitching staff for them to match their numbers from last year.
They lost some talent. Opinion. You're right, and the division's real tough. 90.5 right now over at FanDuel. Look forward to talking baseball futures Lou. Check him out on online at Twitter at gamblu.com as well. Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, Gabriel. Good luck, everyone.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. Worrying about physical separation, your own health, and the health of family and friends can weigh heavily on you. But with the help of CalHOPE, you can get important mental health resources and information to help you find your way in these difficult times. Call 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. HOPE will persevere.
Get on the grid, Sports Grid. I am Morenci. We're getting into the cage right now with the one and only Joey Odessa. You can find him over on Twitter at MMA Odds. Joey, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
What's happening today, Chief?
We're doing all right, Joey. We're doing all right. I feel better than Deontay Wilder's face does after Saturday night's beatdown. And, you know, in the ring on Saturday night, Joey, he said after, I would have rather have died on my sword, but the better man won. And I told people on Saturday night, like immediately after the fight, I said, don't worry, man. I said, Sunday he'll do an interview where he says, you know, he was coming back. And by Monday and Tuesday, he's going to be pissed and he's going to want a rematch. And he's going to say how he was going to win the fight and they never should have stopped the fight. And lo and behold, it didn't even take that long. Well, like Monday morning, he's like, yo, I want the rematch. And then subsequently, the excuse comes. And, you know, he dropped. He gave the old, I had a lot of stuff going on that you guys don't know about going into the fight. He said that after the fight or on Sunday. But he decided to settle in on the fact that it was his entrance costume, Joey, that cost him the fight. It weighed too heavy. It was 40 pounds, and it weakened his legs before the fight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Deontay Wilder. I have no excuses, but the big but, everybody comes with that but after the fight. But my ring entrance weighed me down. You know, he was on a 2018 interview with Joe Rogan talking about wearing 45-pound vest during his training session. How convenient, right?
Yeah, you know, conditioning had never been a problem. You know what his problem was? He was getting hit by a big-ass dude that was just better than him. His legs did look weak early. Yet, I guess I just attribute that to Tyson Fury. You and I spoke after the fight on Saturday night, and people were caught up in the haze of the greatness of the performance and his dominance. Yet, you know, you can't take anything away from Tyson Fury. People have doubted him his whole life. I've doubted him consistently. He's not that good. No, he's not great. And I got to give the guy credit. I respect people that improve in life and in sports and, you know, in anything, Joey. You know what I mean? A lot of people get to a certain age and, you know, we just are who we are. And we don't improve our skills. We don't improve, you know, our mental game and life, etc. Tyson Fury's like a smarter guy now than he was 5 years ago. And it's like he's a better fighter than he was 5 years ago. So I got to give the guy credit for just improving constantly, Joey.
Well, like I said to you last week, you know, I stopped betting against him in 2013 when he knocked out Steve Cunningham. I just he made me a believer. I said, you know what, that's enough of this. And finally, I probably caught up and got out of the red with him going into that Klitschko fight. But yeah, I mean, he's gotten better. And you know what? I mean, he was 270 pounds. I mean, he's leaning on Wilder. I mean, that took its toll on Wilder's legs too.
It did.
You know, Wilder coming in heavy. You know, a few people have talked about this, you know, to nauseam. But, I mean, him coming in heavier, too, Wilder coming in heavier, that can't help him. He's carrying that extra weight on those legs. He didn't have big legs to begin with. And you know what? He got hit. He got hit, you know, maybe a little bit behind the head, but got dropped. And you know what? I don't think he ever recovered from that. And Mark Breland, you know, he probably saved, you know, if it weren't for Mark Breland, Deontay Wilder might not be talking about a rematch because he was getting battered. I mean, why would you, you know, he lives to fight another day thanks to Mark Breland. He's talking about switching up his camp and, you know, he's unhappy with his trainers and his cornermen. You know what? He should be thanking those guys because those guys throwing the towel when they did enabled him to fight another day. Granted, the referee might have stopped it, but that referee didn't look like he was doing Tyson Fury any favors,
no,
you know,
no.
In that fight.
No, you're right. The ref didn't seem like he was in a hurry to stop it either. I agree with you. I was thinking after. Listen, I get him saying that after. You're the fighter. All right. You're allowed one shot of blaming the corner type thing. They never should have stopped it. Fine. But after the fact, as you stated, Joey, it's like, dude, you've got a freaking rematch, bro. You could have stopped it two rounds ago. Like, it doesn't matter. It's almost like a basketball series, Joey, where it's game six and you know there's a game seven and you're down by 42. The game's over, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, no, yeah. We've lost this game. We've got a game seven and we can win the next game. And, you know, you've got to move on. And you know, I thought it was funny after the fact. There was a lot of hype about Tyson Fury. And I don't, you know, we don't have enough time. I don't want to get into it. I'm not even educated enough to really get into an all-time debate. But I was looking at heavyweights, and it's not crazy to put him in the top 20. And then it's not crazy to, like, I got him. I was looking, and he's about 16 or 17, Joey. And, you know, maybe I can live with a little bit higher, but we're going all-time now, too. So, I, you know, I'm dropping Rocky Marciano. We're going everybody in the list here, which is pretty damn good. I mean, you know, the guy is higher ranked than I wanted to admit, but you know, I don't like when people say everyone's the best ever all the time, but he would give anybody problems just because he is so big, Joey. Like I got it, you know, I don't care what era you are. If you're 273 pounds and nearly 7 feet tall, you're going to be a load to deal with for anybody.
No doubt. I mean, I think he's top 10. I mean, the jury's still out of him because he's going to fight again. But, you know, I think he's the best heavyweight in the last 50 years.
So you think he's better than Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I think he's too big for Tyson.
Yeah, Tyson's small next to him. Lennox Lewis?
You know, Lennox was lazy. You know, this Tyson Fury, he fights for 12 rounds, and he's shown that he can, you know, he gets up. I mean, these are all, you know, again, you know me, I'm not a fantasy guy. I don't like to go down those, you know, these hypothetical matchups. But, you know, I think Tyson Fury, you know, arguably top 10, top 5 heavyweight.
I'm not going to go that far. I stand my ground. I think that era of, you know, the Lewis, Evander Holyfield, Tyson, Larry Holmes is my guy, and we're not even getting into the, you know, 50 years, I guess, you know, you could say that era, you're right. And I'm not saying I agree with you, but it's a different era, right? We're not including Frazier, Foreman, Ali, right? In that conversation.
Yeah. No, Ali, Lewis, Patterson.
Yeah. Like that's cause that's over 50 years. That was right around that. That's pretty much that 50 year cutoff, right now, actually. You know, late, you know, into the early 70s. But listen, he's good. And I'm not going to be that guy that says, oh, no, he's terrible. And on my day, I got to give Tyson Fury credit. And just quickly, as far as the odds moving forward. So he exercised, and Joe Tessitore said after, Deontay Wilder got so beat up, he's not going to want to exercise the clause in the contract. Yeah, he doesn't want to make another $25 to $35 million. So it's supposed to happen before July. And, you know, Fury at this point will just want to get it over with and beat him up again. And that's what the odds makers are thinking. Tyson Fury's in the minus 350 range right now in a rematch against Deontay Wilder. Will Hill's got minus 345, Deontay Wilder plus 275. And they also have Tyson Fury minus 200 over Anthony Joshua, which, Joey, would be a sick-ass fun fight. That's the one I'd be more fired up for that than I was for this. Yet, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, man. Joshua's got like a contract and he's got two mandatory defenses coming up. So who knows if we'll ever get the Joshua Fury fight that everybody wants so much.
Yeah, but I think Fury's pop wants him to hang up the gloves. But you know what? Tyson Fury will beat Joshua. And you know what?
If I agree.
If he fights Wilder, then that number's right. I mean, he's every bit of minus 350 against Wilder again. You know, he will, you know, he'll beat the brakes off him again. It's just another walk in the park for him, I think. I mean,
Fury's a better boxer than Joshua. He is. Like, I'm talking about, like, the skills, the movement. I think he's got more heart than Anthony Joshua. And I bought into the Joshua hype early. And so did Mike Tyson. Right? Like, man, when Iron Mike endorsed him and said, this guy's better than I was. And I said, I'm all on board, but they probably have some management tie or something that Mike like, that Mike said that
reason. I mean, I tell you one thing about Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury doesn't quit. Andy Ruiz, you know, he broke Joshua. Sure, Joshua came back and beat him in the rematch. And, you know, Ruiz came in, what, he came in.
I didn't even look all that good in the rematch. He looked cautious in the rematch.
And Ruiz looked horrible. I mean, Ruiz was what, 30 pounds heavier? You know, 20 pounds heavier? I mean, he looked horrible. You know, he cashed out, and credit to him. He beat Joshua. You know, he beat Joshua at Madison Square Garden, got his money, and got that. You know, he just partied it up like Buster Douglas.
Yeah, and now he's got the Pulev guy, and then he's going to fight a cruiserweight, former cruiserweight title holder after that. But, man, that would be big. All right, Joey, we've only got a couple of minutes left. UFC Norfolk, they're going to Virginia this week. Benavidez gets his third opportunity at this this belt. Henry Cejudo has vacated the belt, because I'm thinking, Benavidez, how the hell is this guy fighting for a title again? Third opportunity at a flyweight championship. Yet, you know what? It was a controversial loss to Demetrius Johnson. So Benavidez gets another crack against Figueiredo. What do you make of this fight, Joey?
Well, you got to remember, Benavidez also had that loss to Sergio Pettis, split decision back in 2018. But if you go by the math, I mean, Benavidez beat Formiga, Formiga beat Figueiredo. You know, the number's probably right. I might stay away from that fight. There's better stuff on the undercard, I think, to bet. Off the top of my head, that Alan Cruz, he's in a good spot there, and you're laying less than 2-1 on him. And this Gabriel Silva against Phillips, I think Silva will get there. So it's a pretty good card.
All right. Alan Cruz minus 120 against Peterson. Know what?
Peterson's out.
Is it Peterson? Peterson's out now?
Peterson's out. He's fighting Spike Carlisle, I think the name is. He's
great name.
His UFC debut.
Spike Carlisle. sounds like a Monday Night Raw jobber, you know?
Yeah, no, he looks like it.
He looks like it, too. Joey Odessa had fun more talking about the boxing than this card. I got to tell you. Joey Odessa, find him on Twitter, at MMA Odds. And how about Adesanya with the apology? He said, I'm going to drop you like the Twin Towers. And then he realized after, he's like, yeah, that wasn't that didn't go over very well. But he didn't mean any harm by it, right? It wasn't that, like, what are you, an idiot type of thing?
Yeah, I think, I want to be critical of him because he just, he's flamboyant. Naturally, everybody's betting Adesanya, and I'm usually on the opposite side of everybody. So, I'd like to be angry at him. But you know what? I think he just, probably the first thing that came to his mind, if he said a tree or something that, drop you like a tree or, I don't know, a bat, something cliche. I think he apologized for it. So I think no harm, no foul.
Joey Odessa. Thanks, Joey.
Have a good one, Jake.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
These days, it's understandable if you feel anxious, stressed, or lonely because of COVID. You're not alone. CalHOPE, a program at the California Department of Healthcare Services, can connect you with resources for mental wellness. Visit CalHOPE at calhope.org to find tips and useful resources to support your mental wellness during these difficult times. Or call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere. If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE to talk to someone who can help. That's 1-833-317-4673. Hope will persevere.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.